And especially his dealings with his devotees are very instructive for us. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches through these dealings with his devotees and with others the most sublime principles of Krishna consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would never tolerate the Mayavad principle that we are all the Supreme Lord, that ultimately the Lord is impersonal, and that impersonal absolute takes on a personal form which is also material and descends into this world. And these forms are known as avatars. That is the Mayavad conception. That is why the term Mayavad. So Mahaprabhu would not tolerate such ideas, and he would very severely reprimand anyone who put forward such ideas. So one time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his Mahaprakash Leela, where he manifested his Godhood. Generally, because Mahaprabhu is a hidden incarnation of the Lord, he doesn't display his Godhood. He has come in the form of his own devotee, Radha Bhavadyuti Suvilitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He has accepted the mood and the complexion of Srimati Radharani, but he is a self-same Krishna. So when he comes in the guise of a devotee, he simply presents himself as a devotee, not as a Supreme Lord. And on many occasions when he was addressed as a Supreme Lord, he would close his ears and say, "Vishnu, Vishnu, this is a big offense. You should never call a jiva as Krishna. I am just an ordinary living entity." So he would say this in order to instruct the people at large that they should never imagine themselves to be the Supreme Lord. Sometimes, however, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would actually display his Godhood and accept to his intimate circle of devotees and openly demonstrate his Godhood. And the Mahaprakash Leela was one such pastime. It is also called the Sat Prahariya Bhava. Sat means seven. Prahar is 1/8 of the 24-hour day, which means 3 hours. So 7 times 3 is 21. So this pastime took place for 21 consecutive hours and is described elaborately by Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And in the course of this Mahaprakash Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and sat on the seat of Lord Vishnu, on the Simhasan. And he called forth all his devotees, his intimate associates, and asked them what their innermost desires of their heart were, and he fulfilled them. The different devotees came forward and expressed their innermost desires. Someone said, "My wife is not a devotee, please make her a devotee." "All right, done." "You know, my son is not a devotee, please make him a devotee." "Done." So he was giving his causeless mercy to every single devotee who was in his intimate circle. As time passed, all the intimate associates were called. But Srivas Thakur and the others noticed that there was one devotee who was not called, and that was Mukunda. Now Mukunda, everybody knew, was a very intimate associate of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He was a wonderful singer, and when he sang kirtan, Mahaprabhu used to be glued. He would sit there or rather he would stand and he would dance as if he had 100 feet. Mukunda's singing was exceptionally sweet And all the devotees would be very captivated by this singing. And all the devotees loved him. So Srivast Thakur was not able to understand why Mahaprabhu had not called out Mukunda's name, even though he had called out the names of all the other devotees. Finally, Srivast Thakur gathered courage and approached Mahaprabhu and said, "My Lord, you have called out the names of all the devotees, but you haven't called out the name of Mukunda. What is the reason for this?" And immediately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Oh, that offender, don't even take his name in front of me." So Srivast Thakur said, "Offender? My Lord, I'm sorry, you are the Supreme Independent Lord. You can say and do anything. But from our analysis, we have never seen Mukunda to be an offender by any means." "Yes, you do not know. He actually sometimes comes with a straw between his teeth and falls flat, offering prostrated obeisances to me. And then sometimes he takes an iron rod and beats me hard." So Srivast Thakur said, "We can't believe that. Mukunda will never do that to you." "Yes, you do not know. This Mukunda, when he is here with us, he accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He accepts Krishna consciousness of bhakti as a supreme path for spiritual perfection. But then he goes and he hears so many other scriptures that give different conclusions from Krishna consciousness. And he says, yes, yes, yes. And then he goes to another place, he hears yet another conclusion which is different from bhakti, and he says, yes, yes, yes. And then he comes to us, and when we say bhakti is supreme, he says, yes, yes, yes. So anyone who denies the supremacy of bhakti is an offender and is actually beating me with an iron rod." Of course, Mahaprabhu is making the point, many points here. One of the points is that we should be very careful about where we go to hear, what we should hear and from whom. Certainly there should be authorized devotees of the Lord. By authorized we mean that they should be linked to a bona fide disciplic succession coming from Krishna himself. And one should not hear certainly from non-devotees. Vaishnava mukod girnam bhutam hari kathamritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpochishtam yathapayaha. Srila Prabhupada used to quote this verse very often that indicates that even though milk is very nutritious and nourishing, if one drinks milk that has been touched by the lips of a poisonous serpent, then one will die. Similarly, Krishna Katha is very purifying. It is nectar. But if that Krishna Katha is spoken by a non-devotee of the Lord, then that very Katha will also be a cause of spiritual infection. In other words, our heart will become polluted and Krishna consciousness will not awaken in the heart. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very particular to instruct his devotees that we should be very careful about who we associate with and what we hear. So this episode that he was talking about referred to some distant period where Mukunda had done so. One time he had gone and met somebody, he was associating with some other people. So Mahaprabhu wanted to make an example of him. He wanted to teach a lesson to all the devotees there at that time, his associates, as well as all the devotees who would follow in the many, many generations to come. "So you should not do that," he said. "Mukunda is going and associating with different kinds of people and agreeing with all their conclusions. Those who are devotees of the Lord, Mahaprabhu said, must have discrimination. So, when Srivas Thakur conveyed this to Mukunda, Mukunda took a humble position and he said, yes, I'm a big offender, what can I say? But please ask Mahaprabhu one thing. Please ask him to tell me, when will I be able to get his darshan? He doesn't think me fit to have his darshan now, but when will I be qualified? When will he be merciful upon me that I will receive his darshan? Please let me know this. So when Srivas Thakur went back to Mahaprabhu and relayed this question, Mahaprabhu was still in a mood of anger. So he replied and said, tell that offender that he will not have my darshan for 10 million births. So he said it aloud. So Mukunda was standing at a distance and he heard Mahaprabhu's statement. And Mukunda started jumping and dancing with joy, saying, only 10 million, only 10 million, I am so blessed, I am so fortunate. Only in 10 million births I will have the darshan of the Lord. The Lord will be merciful upon me. And he began dancing ecstatically. And Mahaprabhu observed this and his heart melted. And he called Mukunda and embraced him and said, Mukunda, actually you are not an offender. How can you be? You are actually my intimate devotee. And when you chant the holy names, my heart melts, everybody's heart melts. You are such an intimate associate of mine that how can I ever separate you from me? And then Mahaprabhu began to glorify Mukunda as if he had dozens of mouths, and he embraced Mukunda. And then Mukunda said, actually you are right, my lord. Because what is the use of having darshan of your beautiful form unless one also has devotion in the heart? He gave the example of many kings who had actually seen the Lord face to face, but because they were very envious and inimical to the Lord, their darshan of the Lord was not very fruitful, was not very beneficial. It didn't give rise to devotion within their heart. For example, Ravana saw the Supreme Lord Ramachandra face to face, but he didn't develop love for him. Duryodhana saw Krishna face to face, he didn't develop love for him. Shishupal saw Krishna face to face on many, many occasions, but he didn't develop love for him. On the contrary, Shishupal's envy, Duryodhana's hatred, kept increasing rather than decreasing upon seeing the Lord, because they came to the Lord with an envious heart. And therefore the Lord was not merciful upon them. Whereas there were many others who developed love for the Lord even before having actually had darshan of the Lord. The wives of the brahmanas on the border of Mathura in Vrindavan, the wives of the yajnik brahmanas, they had heard about the glories of Krishna, about his beautiful form and qualities and pastimes and so on. And simply by hearing this, they had developed love for Krishna. And when Krishna actually appeared before them, as is described in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they were already pure devotees of Krishna. And so they were able to appreciate the darshan. They were able to appreciate the beauty of the form of Krishna. Similarly with Rukmani Devi, she had also heard the glories of Krishna. And just by hearing about Krishna, she had developed love for him without having seen him. And then finally she decided that she would get married only to Krishna. She sent a letter through a confidential messenger And Krishna came and then kidnapped her from the midst of all the royal princes who had come to vie for her hand in marriage. So Mukunda was making the point that darshan of the Lord is not in and of itself the most important thing. Yes, it is true that we also go to the temple every day, several times a day, to take darshan of the Lord. And that is very nourishing for our devotion. Because we go with a sincere, faithful heart. Because we go in a spirit of devotion. Therefore, the darshan of the Lord, every single darshan of the Lord, it actually increases our bhakti. This is, of course, one of the limbs of sadhana bhakti. So it is very nourishing because we go in a very positive, devoted consciousness. However, if one doesn't go in a devoted consciousness and rather goes in a very envious mood, then one's envy for the Lord may even increase. So Mukunda was saying it is not so important that one should have darshan, one should develop that devotion. One should develop that serving spirit. Then the darshan becomes fruitful. In this way, when Mukunda was glorifying the principle of devotional service, then Mahaprabhu became extremely pleased with him. So Mahaprabhu took pains on many, many occasions to point out the supremacy and the glory of devotional service to Lord Krishna. Even Advaita Acharya was used as a medium to illustrate the primacy, the supremacy of devotional service vis-a-vis all other conceptions of the Lord. As we all know, Advaita Acharya is none other than Mahavishnu. He is also a form of Lord Shiva. In a few days we have Shivaratri coming up. So he is not a jiva. He is not an ordinary spirit soul. He is Vishnu Tattva, Mahavishnu's expansion. Nevertheless, Advaita Acharya descends as part of the Pancha Tattva in the mood of a servant of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. But because Advaita Acharya was so much older in age than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also he was so intimately associated with his Param Guru, Madhavendra Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would treat Advaita Acharya with great respect and honor, as is due for one's own spiritual master. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not like, and Advaita Acharya, I beg your pardon, would not like this. He wanted to be treated as a servant by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Mahaprabhu would refuse to do so. So Advaita Acharya thought of some trick. He said, I must do something which will make Mahaprabhu accept me as his servant. And what does one do if one wants to make accept, if one wants someone else to accept us as a servant? It's not something that we can imitate or try to follow. But Advaita Acharya reasoned that if I can get Mahaprabhu to chastise me, then I will understand that he has accepted me as his subordinate, as his inferior, as his servant. So long as he considers me his superior, he will never chastise me. So I must do something that will enrage Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much that he will then chastise me. And Advaita Acharya knew very well what was Mahaprabhu's sore point, so to speak. He knew that if he started propagating Mayavad philosophy, that we are all the Supreme Lord and the Absolute Truth is impersonal, then the Lord would become very upset. So he started speaking from the Yoga Vashishta, which is a scripture that puts forward the Mayavad conclusions. And he started giving lectures on this and attending these discussions. And when Mahaprabhu came to know about it, he rushed towards Advaita Acharya and began to beat him. And Advaita Acharya was rolling in ecstasy. Now my life is successful. Because Mahaprabhu has accepted me as his servant. And then Mahaprabhu realized what the trick that had been performed on him. And then he held himself back. But Advaita Acharya had fulfilled his purpose. So what was it that Advaita Acharya had to resort to do this? He had to decry or criticize the principle of pure devotional service. And that is what got Mahaprabhu so enraged. In a Mayavad philosophy, there is no question of pure devotional service. Even if one serves the Lord, it is with the ultimate objective of becoming the Lord. So one uses devotional service as a stepping stone to becoming the Lord. That is, of course, not the principle of pure devotional service. So therefore, Advaita Acharya used this ruse or this trick to get Mahaprabhu's mercy. So this is how important Mahaprabhu considered the understanding of pure devotional service. Even after taking sannyas, when Mahaprabhu lived in Jagannath Puri, there were many people who came there and they wanted to make Mahaprabhu hear various compositions they had made, like songs and poems and articles and dramas and so on. And Mahaprabhu, when he heard them, would be very upset because they would mix up all kinds of devotional conclusions, rasabhas, overlapping of devotional mellows, and they wouldn't present the correct conclusion, and more often than not, because these composers or poets were not trained properly in the devotional conclusions, so there would be some mix of Mayavad there, even without their consciously knowing it, and perhaps sometimes consciously knowing it. So finally Mahaprabhu told Swarup Damodar Goswami, his secretary and intimate associate, "Swarup, henceforth you will screen all the things that are brought forward for me to hear and read. Only if you okay it will I be willing to hear or read any poem or drama or article written by anybody." So this was how strong he was on maintaining the proper devotional understanding and conclusions. But when it came to his devotees, when he was in the midst of the devotees who were completely absorbed in this principle of pure devotional service, then he was ecstatic, fully blissful. And right from his young days, from his early childhood pastimes, he not only personally relished Krishna consciousness, but also taught others to relish. Even as a child, he demonstrated this principle so effectively. I would like to narrate one little pastime in this connection. Some distance away from the house of Jagannath Mishra lived two very devout Brahmana Vaishnava brothers, Jagadish Pandit and Hiranya Pandit. They were pure devotees of Krishna and of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu had just appeared. He had performed his appearance pastime. He was playing the role of a small baby. And it was Ekadashi. And baby Nimai, as he was called at that time, he began to cry, and nothing the others would do would make him stop crying. Generally, when the neighborhood ladies came forward and started chanting the Lord's names, he would stop crying and begin to smile sweetly. But on this one occasion, he didn't do that. Nothing that the neighbors or the family members did would make Nimai stop crying. And finally, they all asked him in exasperation, Nimai, please tell us, why are you crying? What can we do to make you stop? So he said, in Jagadish Pandit's house, there is a big offering to Vishnu. I want that. I want the rice from there. And Jagannath Mishra was perplexed. First and foremost, how did this child know that such an offering was made to the deities, to the Shalagram Shila, in Jagadish Pandit and Hiranya Pandit's house, which was reasonably far away? And secondly, how did this child know today is Ekadashi and that there was grains offered to the deities today? And thirdly, how is it proper for me to feed this child grains on Ekadashi? So Jagannath Mishra was concerned, but then he saw this child is really something special. So anyway, let us see. So he sent somebody to go there and find out what was going on in Jagadish Pandit's house. And Jagadish Pandit was surprised to hear this. He said, how did this child know that I have cooked a feast and I'm offering it to Lord Vishnu, to my Shalagram Shila, to my deity? And of course, baby Nimai then had some of that prasadam and he was very happy and he stopped crying. Late, actually, the same Jagadish Pandit, there is a pastime that took place for him, because hearing about the pastimes of the devotees is as nourishing as hearing about the pastimes of the Lord. So Jagadish Pandit went to Jagannath Puri to have darshan of Lord Jagannath. He stayed there for many days and relished the darshan to his heart's content. Every day he would go there for long hours and enjoy the nectarian darshan of Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. It was time to come back. He didn't feel like, but there was service to do. So he had to return home. On the way, however, he had been praying to the Lord that he should get the deities of Lord Jagannath to worship. He should somehow be able to worship him. And in Navakalevara, the change of the deity, that time was just there at that time when he was in Jagannath Puri. And the deity, Lord Jagannath, appeared in a dream to the king and said that my deities now should be given, handed over, Jagannath should be handed over to this Jagadish Pandit who has come from Navadvip, and he will take me back to Navadvip. Normally there is a procedure, the deities, but this time the procedure was not followed because the Lord had directly ordered that the deity should be with Jagadish Pandit. Now those of you who have attended the Rath Yatra in Puri, you know how heavy the deity of Lord Jagannath is. It's a very big sized deity, made of wood, and it takes many, many strong men to lift the deity, and even then they do so with great difficulty. And there are cotton pads kept along the way where they rest the deity to take some rest before they lift the deity again and take him onward to the rath. So how would this one frail brahmana carry the deity of Lord Jagannath? So Jagadish Pandit spoke to the Lord in his dream. He said, my Lord, how can I carry you back? So Jagannath said, don't worry, I'll become as light as cork. You know what cork is? It's used as a bottle stopper. It's a very light material. So I will become as light as cork, and you can carry me back at the end of a stick. Just tie me to the end of the stick, but I have one condition, that you should not place me down on the floor, on the ground. If you do that, then I will remain there and not move. So he said, all right, my Lord, I will follow this instruction. So he carried the stick on his shoulder, and in the front, and there was the deity of Lord Jagannath, and he was walking along from Puri back to Navadvip. And as you know, it's a long journey. So on the way, he felt the need to answer the call of nature, which was very, very pressing. Now we see this theme repeating so many times, even with the Govardhan Leela and so on. So then he asked a Brahmin to hold this. He had been doing that earlier too. So the Brahmin would hold it and then he would answer the call of nature and take his bath and come back and then resume the journey. But this time when the Brahmana took the stick on his shoulders, all of a sudden he found Jagannath so heavy. He just could not hold the deity. He collapsed and let the deity on the ground. And then when Jagadish Pandit returned, then he saw that Lord Jagannath was resting on the ground. And he tried to lift him again, and he was heavier than the universe. He could not be lifted. And then he understood that this is where Lord Jagannath desired to be. And that deity of Lord Jagannath is still there today in a place called, does anyone know the name of the place? It was called Chakdaha. It's not too far from here. Maybe some of you who are staying here for some days more, you could visit that place. There's a Gaudiya Math there. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur eventually purchased that place. And that place is called Chakdaha. It is actually a deviation from the word Chakradaha. Because at the time when King Bhagirath was leading the way for Mother Ganga as she descended from the heavenly planets through the Himalayas and she was moving towards the sea, King Bhagirath, due to whose prayers Mother Ganga had descended, was leading the way to the ocean. And it is said that at this point, King Bhagirath's chariot wheel got stuck. So this place is called Bhagirath, and they're called Chakradaha. There's some other pastimes historically that are said to have happened there. But anyway, so then Jagadish Pandit understood that this was where Lord Jagannath desired to be. So the deities are still worshipped there today. So in this way, the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees are very, very sublime, very wonderful, and they're worth relishing. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Chaitanya Bhagavad, we find numerous such pastimes, and also from the lives of the great devotees, for example, Jagadish Pandit, we can derive so much transcendental bliss by hearing about these pastimes and these great personalities. So it is now 8 o'clock. I think we are in time for the next program. So thank you very much. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki jai. Shri Mayapur Dham ki jai. Shri La Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj ki. As all of you know, we had announced before, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was supposed to deliver this lecture. Then in the evening, while I was walking with Maharaj, just near Panchatattva, I came to know that Maharaj would not be able to make out for his talk. So then, all of a sudden I had to request Maharaj. And Maharaj, he had some other program. He wanted to meet with some devotees, because he is leaving early morning tomorrow. But he kindly agreed to serve all of you. And you can see that Maharaj is as expert as His Holiness Radhanath Swami in delivering talks on Chaitanya Charitamrita. We all are fully content in our heart upon hearing the narration, the nectarian narration from His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Swami. So at this point I would like to request all of you to kindly chant holy name of Krishna in honor of Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So please don't leave the place. Still we have His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj will be arriving soon. So till Maharaj comes onto the stage, actually you might be thinking I would have requested Maharaj to stay back to narrate few more pastimes. But because Maharaj is leaving tomorrow, that's why he has to leave now, that's why he is leaving. So now we would spend some time in listening to the kirtan led by Muktidatta Prabhu. Is somebody here who can accompany him in playing mridanga? Hare Krishna. A devotee is from Bangladesh. Somebody is there? Oh, okay, very well. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Namayam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Nama.
Everybody's hand.
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pachat Desh Tari Ne Namat. Haribo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. हरि नाम संकीर्तन की Agnishudana अघनिषुदन उतन घातन अघनिषुदन उतन घातन ब्रह्म विमोहन ऊर्ध करे ओ ब्रह्म विमोहन ऊर्ध करे गाय गुर चाचिर करे कृष्ण करे करे कृष्ण कृष्ण करे करे एक बार बोल रसना एक बार बोल रसना उच्च सरे बोल रसना उच्च सरे कृष्ण कृष्ण करे करे कृष्ण कृष्ण करे करे गाय गुरता करे कृष्ण कृष्ण करे करे कृष्ण कृष्ण करे करे गाय गुरता करे गाय गुरता करे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे
प्रवेश चतुरी मधुर Oh. Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Can he speak English? বাংলা বোঝে তারা হাত তুলুন। হরে কৃষ্ণ। যারা ইংরেজি বোঝেন না শুধু বাংলা বোঝেন তারা হাত তুলুন।
ফোর্টি পার্সেন্ট
বাংলা এফএম হচ্ছে 95, যারা যারা বাংলা চান তারা এফএম 95 চ্যানেল। কয়জনকার এফএম আছে? আপনারা এরকম ভাবে বসবেন যাতে আশেপাশে যারা বাঙালি ভক্ত আছে একসাথে বসে শুনতে পারেন। Which happened more than 450 years ago. Who wants to hear that? Did anybody raise their hand? I heard a little sound. Incredible.
Adwaita Ketudi Gram. Narottam Das Thakur.
He had the idea.
He had the idea. Let's unite all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And have a grand Gaur Purnima festival.
So
he asked Srinivas Acharya
if he would take responsibility to invite all the associates of Lord Chaitanya.
So he asked Srinivas Acharya if he would take responsibility to invite all the Vaishnavas. He had such a way of requesting. So soft and so bhakti purnam.
Srinivas Acharya.